Okay, turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We got through five verses, but that's good. We got a good basic background wound up last Sunday. Now you know all about the guy that wrote it and about the unique part of the gospel that he has presented in only the Gospel of John. I think a number of people called me about that and said, you know, I never realized that John was so unique and that it had 92% of information that no other gospel has got. Most people don't realize that, but it's so unique here. We stopped at verse 5 there where it says that the light shineth in darkness, darkness comprehended it not, or the word comprehended in the Greek means the darkness cannot put out the light. And I made an illustration, no matter how big a room you're in, how dark it is, if you light one little match, the darkness cannot put that light out. So God has taken care of that. God is here. No matter of evil and darkness can put it out. This is God's word. And when you see what's happening in the world today, every day, just from one Sunday to the next Sunday, I could go over things that would blow your mind that's happening in this world against God's program, against His Word, against Christ. I'm not going to do that. From time to time, I'll bring out something. Everybody's worried about the virus now. You know, I mean, they've got that thing going. That's worldwide. But I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen out of it. I'm not a medical expert. They don't even know. So we just have to pray about it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is interesting how John the Apostle introduces John the Baptist. Notice this. He said, there's a man, but this man was sent from God, a specific individual. Now throughout the Gospel of John, John will never refer to himself. He'll never refer to John the Baptist as John the Baptist. He'll always refer to him as just John. Okay? And that's unique again. But he says, this man was sent from God, and his name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, this man sent from God was to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That's the reason Christ came. That's the reason he was introduced to the world. It was to be the light of the world. But guess what? The world didn't want him. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, John wants to be sure that you understand that John the Baptist wasn't the light. John the Baptist himself said, I must decrease and he must increase. John the Baptist was there just to tell the world and introduce Christ to mankind. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This statement here makes a statement that a lot of people like to reject, that every man that comes into the world does have a light to be able to look forward to the true light. But the problem is that most men, and I say men, that includes humanity, is that they reject the light. They want darkness more than they want light. I mean, just look at what's happening in the world today. The things that are going on, and it's against God's word. It's against His principles. Everything. I mean, it's just coming out of the woodwork now. Like, I'll make a statement here. Never before in history. Because there's never been that many people on the face of the earth. But it's everywhere now. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Christ created this earth. He created the world. He created everything. And when he did come into his creation, mankind didn't recognize him. But yet he created it. He sustained it. The world right now today is sustained by Christ. The world doesn't know that. It rejects him. They've got all these different new ideas. You've got worldly stuff, the planet, the climate, the everything going on, the Wiccans, the nature worshipers, and on and on and on, totally rejecting Christ. And he's the one that's got the next breath that you breathe in his hand. But they don't. They reject that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Here he's talking about the Jews. Jesus came to the Jews. The Jews were to be a light to the world. And he came to them. They were his people, his special creation that he pulled out of all the people on the face of the earth. And he said, you're my people. You're to be my witnesses. And I'm going to come to you. But they rejected him. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Notice that. If you believe on him, you actually become a child of God. That's what it says, sons of God. And that word even is not in the text, in the Greek text. It shouldn't be in there. The King James translators put it in there thinking it made it easier to understand, but it doesn't. It really kind of messes it up. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Now, that's an important verse, because today you have all of these different isms going around. You have all of these different ideas of how to go to heaven. The Pope made a statement several weeks back that it doesn't matter what you believe. Everybody's going to get to heaven anyhow. You're just going by a different road. Well, that's not what this Bible says. This Bible here says you're not going to get there unless you're a believer in Jesus Christ and he's your personal Savior. Now, to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, but of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's God that gets you to heaven. He's laid the plan out. Either you accept it or you reject it. Most men are going to reject it. The world, if you take the percentage of people that are going to go to heaven when the rapture occurs, it's going to be a small amount, a percentage-wise. And then there's going to be a big lie, some specific lie, that's going to be told to the world of why these Christians left. I'm not going to get into that right now. There's be a time and a place for that later. But it will be a specific lie. And the world will accept it and believe it and move the Antichrist to be the king of the world. That's what they're waiting on. And the Word, again, the whole encompassing God here, Word, was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word begotten seems to cause problems with people when they read it. Let me tell you what it means in the Greek. This word begotten means unique. It means different. There's nothing else like it. So when it says here that he is begotten of the Father, it means the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father is totally unique. There's not anything else like it in the world. So they have a companionship, and one in two that we don't really understand how that works, never will this side of life, but that's what it is. And so when any time you see this word begotten used many times in the New Testament, it just means a unique relationship with the Father and the Son. Okay? Any questions on that? Okay. Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is nothing but truth. He's full of grace, unmerited favor. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred, or existed before me, would be a better translation of the Greek. He existed before I did. For he was before me, he's greater than me, and he existed before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Christ gives grace, unmerited favor, and he gives it over, and he gives it over, and he gives it over again. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Now notice the contrast here, okay? There's a contrast between the law and grace, between the law and Christ. So many people miss this, and there's so many people today that still believe they have to obey the law in order to get to heaven. And John here brings out in this one verse, of course there's many more, he brings it out here. The law was given by Moses. God gave Moses the law. He said, okay, this is to Israel. And by the way, the law was given to Israel. It wasn't given to one Gentile, okay? It was given to Israel. This is my laws for you, Israel, for you to obey me and be the people that I want you to be. Of course, they failed miserably. But then he goes on to say here, grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to live under the law, you're going to be punished under the law. I want to live under grace and truth. Grace means unmerited favor. Christ has given me eternal life that I don't deserve. He's had mercy on me. He doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what I don't deserve, which is grace. The law did not give any grace. You study the Old Testament very closely. All of the laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Exodus. You read all of those laws and you will not find mercy and grace anywhere in there. It's punishment for wrongdoing. No man has seen God at any time. Well, you say, I can go back to the Old Testament. Moses saw God in the burning bush, and he asked God to walk by him and let him see him. What this, the Greek here is that no man has seen God at any time in his full-blown power. If you remember, Moses didn't see God fully because of the burning bush. Moses was only allowed to see his backside as he walked through. Abraham saw the angel of God, which probably was a theophany, as they call it in the Old Testament, of Christ's appearance as a man. No man could see God in his all-awesome glory and survive. Okay? And this is what it means. The only begotten Son, again, that word, only unique one here, Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Christ came to declare the Father. You know, the disciples asked Jesus one time, said, Jesus, we want to see the Father. Show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? I and my Father are one. Now, he was in the flesh, so they couldn't see all the magnificent glory like he did on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he showed the three apostles part of his glory. They didn't see it all. And this is the record of John. This is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? They heard about the big uproar that John the Baptist is causing. He's baptizing out there beyond the Jordan, which Sherry and Bennett got to be baptized in there in the Jordan River. I nearly dropped Sherry. I almost dropped her. But anyway, they got to be baptized in the Jordan River. Some of the rest of you all may have got to do that. It's a unique experience here. But John the Baptist was baptizing and causing a big uproar in the Jewish community. And so then they sent these Levites and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious law people that said they were, today they'd be called super Christians, okay? They were super law livers. And anyway, they sent the delegation out to John the Baptist, said, okay, John the Baptist, you're doing all this stuff and you're stirring all this up. Now remember, this is a unique time. It's been 400 years since the Jews have heard anything from God. He hung the phone up 400 years ago. So they hadn't seen a prophet. They hadn't heard anybody come out and proclaim God's word for 400 years. Now think about that. This country's been a country for a little over 200 years. Think about almost doubling that, and think about what your mindset would be like on an issue that you hadn't heard anything about in 400 years. This was their mindset. And they asked him, "All right, John the Baptist, who are you?" He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ. I am not the Messiah." Okay? First of all, let's get that clear, he said. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" Elijah. The Old Testament, Elijah is promised to come before the Messiah. And they ask him, are you Elijah? And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" There's another prophet that is in the Old Testament promised to come before the Messiah. Doesn't give his name. And he answered, "No, I'm not any one of these people that you are asking about." Then said they unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself?" All right, if you're not any of these people, John the Baptist, tell us who you are. We've got to go back and make a report to the temple, to the Sanhedrin, and we've got to tell them who you are. You're creating a big disturbance in Israel. He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah. That's in Isaiah 40, verse 3, by the way. He's quoting from Isaiah. "Make straight the way of the Lord," said the prophet Isaiah. "And they which were sent were of the Pharisees." He wants to make sure that you understood that this was the religious people, not just the general run of people out there that have come to ask him these questions. These are the elite people, the elite religious people of Israel at this time. I mean, they have all the knowledge of the Old Testament, of the Messiah, and all of that. And after 400 years of not hearing anything, here's this guy out here in the wilderness that's causing a big stir and using God's name. So they want to know who he is. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou art not that Christ or Elias, neither that prophet?" What right do you have to be baptized in anybody, John, out here? Let me say this about baptism. Baptism was a rite and a ritual that was performed by the Jews. When a priest, a Levite priest, became a priest at 30 years of age, he was baptized publicly to show that he was now a Levite priest. Baptism was just a ceremony that was used for cleansing. And the Jews understood that. So they're asking John the Baptist, "Why are you doing this? If you're not from this group here, what right do you have to do this?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch and I'm not worthy to unloose." He said, "Listen, I'm just baptizing with water as a symbol of Israel's repentance for the one that is coming, who is greater than me, preferred before me, existed before me." And he said, "He is so great that I'm not even worthy to be a slave to untie his sandals." Now, that was the duty of a slave in these times. If you went into somebody's home, it was the duty of the slave to untie your sandals and wash feet before you went in the house. And he says, "I'm not even worthy to do the menial task of a slave to this individual that's out here among you right now." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Now Jesus comes on the scene publicly around where John's baptizing, and John introduces him. Here he is. This is the man of God, takes away the sins of the world. When he says lamb, he immediately introduces him as the sacrifice of God, because lambs were being sacrificed there in the temple at that time. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He existed before me. I'm older than he is. Remember when Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, she was already 6 months alone. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. All this information that John the Baptist has about Jesus, about the Messiah, the Lamb of God, is coming from God to him. God is giving him this information. He's feeding it to John the Baptist. Okay? And he said, I'm come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now, this is something God let John see. He let him see the Spirit come down and descending upon Christ and abiding upon him in a form that John the Baptist was allowed to see. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father told John, when you see this Spirit come down and remain on him, then he is the chosen one of Israel. He is the one who will, future-wise, baptize with the Holy Spirit. If you have a King James translation, it says ghost. I don't like that word, because in the English terms of us today, you think of a ghost as some spirit that's haunting someplace around and doing all kinds of poltergeist issues. So I won't get into that. But so I like the word should have been translated spirit. It's the same word. The King James translator sometimes translated it ghost, sometimes spirit. I like to use the word spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Okay? So he's introducing the Son of God now to mankind. And the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Again, he introduces him again, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I'm going to stop right there for time's sake, because we're getting into where Jesus starts calling the apostles into his ministry, and I don't want to break that train of thought. So we'll stop right there for today. Does anybody have any questions or comments? This is a big issue. It's introducing Christ to the world. It's introducing him to his people, the Jews. And they were supposed to have accepted him. He was going to set their kingdom up, and they were going to spread this throughout the world. Instead, they rejected him. They killed him. He's put off the kingdom for Israel till sometime in the future. And then Israel will be the leading nation of the world once they accept him like they should have done in the first place. So that's what we're leading up to. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for this word of truth, Lord, that we have had the Messiah come to Israel, and that he has now opened up his salvation to the Gentiles. Lord, that he has a group of people, his church, from all kindreds and tongues. And Lord, just continue to use us in any way you see fit to get the truth out to the world. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and call me if you need me. By the way, I start a new work schedule. It will be Tuesday and Thursday next week.